Okay. Blessed afternoon to all of you. I'm glad that you are here today. Today, the lesson I'm going to bring is I cannot keep silent. Okay, I'll just go on with the lesson and you'll understand why this is the title for today. A couple's marriage was on the rocks. The husband was always very angry and would blow up at his wife. The wife, shocked by his outburst, decided to approach a doctor for help. So she visits the doctor and says, "Doctor, I don't know what to do. Every day, my husband seems to lose his temper for no reason. It scares me." The doctor asks her to explain how things are at home on a daily basis. He nodded and acknowledged what the woman said. And after a couple of hours, the doctor said, "I have a cure for that. When it seems that your husband is getting angry, just take a glass of water and start swishing it in your mouth. Just swish and swish, but don't swallow until he either leaves the room or comes down." 2 weeks later, the woman comes back to the doctor looking fresh and reborn. The woman says, "Doctor, that was a brilliant idea. Every time my husband started losing it, I swished with water. I swished and swished, and he came right down. How does a glass of water do that?" The doctor said, "The water itself does nothing. It's keeping your mouth shut that does the trick. You seriously talk too much." While it is funny to a certain extent, it is not always the ladies who have too much to talk about. Sometimes it is the gentleman. And just like just now Pastor E shared about how he when it comes to the pulpit, he just can't stop talking. He's introvert and so I am. So you know what you are in for this afternoon. Now it seems as though like the title of today's message should be Learning to Keep Silent. But I have deliberately chosen the title I Cannot Keep Silent. Some questions I like to ask will be, what exactly is the reason why people talk so much? Why is it some people can go on and on for hours on the very same topic? Perhaps some people are nagging. Perhaps some people love gossiping. But for the most part, people talk more and won't keep silent when it comes to something that excites them, something that makes them happy, something that they are really passionate about. Yes, this is it. The point is it. Why is it some people cannot keep silent? Because they talk about what means a lot to them. What is it that you talk about? What is it that excites you and makes you happy? What is it that you can talk about for hours and not get sick of? But the question I need to ask you is it about spiritual stuff? Is it about Christ? Is it about your faith in God? Because I can go on and talk about the food that I like to eat. I can tell you about my weight loss strategies. I can tell you, which is clearly not working. I can tell you about, the certain movie that I watch that I really like a lot. But then, if it is not about Christ, it really doesn't really benefit. For most of us, if asked if Christ is more often than not the topic of our conversations, the answer might probably be, no. Why, right? Because we might be ashamed to let others know that we don't talk about God as much as we should. Perhaps even hesitant because we feel guilty that we have not been the type of witnesses that we ought to be. But my intention here today is not to heap guilt upon you, but to encourage each and every one of us to live here today determined to open our mouths and boldly proclaim what we believe in and share the good news to everyone within our area of influence. If I were to ask for a show of hands for any brave soul who has spoken about Christ to someone this past week, how many of us would raise our hands? Remember, we just sang, "I love to tell the story." Do you love to tell this magnificent story of an almighty God who so loved his creation that he descended to earth to give his life as an atonement for our sins, to redeem us and purchase for us an everlasting inheritance with him in heaven? Do you love Christ that much? You know, we have best friends and we talk about our best friends all the time. We say, "Oh my God, this friend, you know, he does this, he does that." And we are so happy to talk to them about what we have done over the weekend, the places we visited, we show pictures, you know, and we get so excited about talking about that person whom we love. do we love Christ that much that we will talk to Him, talk about Him the way we talk about our best friend on earth? Is it the silence? Okay. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 35 verse 28, "My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." We all understand David was a man after God's heart, and he really loved the Lord. And because he loved the Lord, he did not just keep silent about it. He says, "I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest." Yeah, whether or not we have been telling others about God, He knows very well. Whether or not we have kept silent when we ought to have stood up for our faith, He also knows. Have we shut our mouths because we fear the response of others? Do we keep silent so that we don't offend anyone? If you believe the truth of God's word, I encourage you to preach it, because no one ought to miss out on God's truth. Before we begin our message proper, let us open with a word of prayer. Our dearest Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for your wonderful gift of salvation that you offered all of us to your Son Jesus Christ. We know we did nothing to deserve such grace and mercy, and yet you chose us to be your ambassadors on this earth, to be witnesses of your magnificent glory. Lord, receive your forgiveness if we have not been the kind of witness you have desired for us to be. And we pray that today you might give us boldness, that we may live here today encouraged and empowered by your Holy Spirit to speak your word and spread your good news to everyone we come in contact with. Use me now, your servant, to preach your word, that hearts might be changed and no man be left unconvicted of your truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some Christians think that spiritual talk is for pastors, for deacons, for those spiritual ones who go to Bible college or attend theology classes. Some Christians shy away from religious conversations, either because they have a fear that they will be asked questions that they cannot answer. Others feel that such talk is not necessary, it may turn people off. You know, like for example, if people are talking about food, you know, and you start to just bring in about Jesus dividing the loaves and the fishes, and people talk about woman, then you start to bring in Proverbs and talk about how the beautiful, you know, the wondrous woman and the characteristics of a woman. And whenever they talk about any single topic, you bring in Christ. Yes, it can be very irritating. And in this case, if you don't keep silent, you will actually find out that you have no more friends. I mean, there has to be tact when we are talking. Okay, but when it comes to really standing up for your faith and to be a testimony and a witness for Christ, we cannot waver on that. I once had a Sunday school teacher who told me, "Be careful how you live. You may be the only Bible some people ever read." Well, what is true to a certain extent, this promotes lifestyle evangelism. And what do I mean by that? It means it's a kind of where you live your life in a holy fashion, and that people, through observing the way that you live, be drawn to Christ. You know, as long as I live my life right and I do, you know, I go to church, I pray before I eat, and people are watching me, they will naturally be drawn to Christ. They will get saved. Please note that while living a life that is honoring to God, unless we open our mouths to speak, we are not leading anyone any closer to heaven's gate any more than wearing a chicken suit draws people to KFC. People need to hear your testimony of faith. People need to know your association with Jesus Christ. People need to learn of the personal relationship that you have with God. How will they know if you keep silent? So, point number one, why I cannot keep silent? Because point one, we were created to show forth His glory. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them." Now God created us to do good works. Why? Is it to make us popular in this world? Like maybe Mother Teresa, maybe when people look at us, they say, "Wow, this person is a really good person," so that we will be part of the Time magazine. You know, is it to make us feel good about ourselves, or to receive glory for ourselves, so that we can have our picture in the history books or stuff like that? No, but Matthew says, not this Matthew. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Right? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works that you were foreordained to perform. So that when they see your good works, they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. We see a lot of good people around. Perhaps even know that they are Christian. But we never know about their personal relationship with God or what God has done for them in their life unless they speak up. An unbeliever who looks at a Christian might just feel that, oh, life is so ritualistic. You know, every Sunday must go to church. Oh, I still got what prayer meeting lah, and all these things. Wednesday, Thursday, no, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday. Oh, I still got HBST and all the different activities they attend. Oh, I got not that much time. You think that life is so mundane. You know, if you want to go to drink, go to a pub and drink. Oh, no, I don't drink. No, I'm Christian. And you say, oh, this also cannot, that also cannot. So restrictive. You know, clothes also need to have a certain kind of, you know, cannot review too much and stuff like that. Perhaps, if we spoke out to them to help them to understand that truth liberates rather than binds. That it's not what we do, but what was done for us that truly matters. That would help a lot. But maybe we just keep quiet. We just think that, you know, by putting on a good Christian testimony, people look at us, they, oh, this person Christian, I want to become a Christian as well. Not all the time. Part 2. We are commissioned to preach the gospel. We all know this morning we sang the Great Commission, right? We are all given a commission to go and preach the gospel. When you say preach the gospel, I'm not talking about you ladies coming up here and, you know, start to expound scripture. Okay, but each and every one of us can preach the gospel to your friends, to your families, to people who are younger than you, even girls as well. Okay, but why should we preach the gospel? Because we are commissioned. God gave us a task to do, and that's to let everyone hear about it. Everyone ought to hear it. Mark chapter 16 verse 15 says, "And he said unto them," this is Christ speaking, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." There's a reason why we have to preach the gospel to every creature, because salvation depends on it. It says in Romans chapter 10 verse 13 to 15 and 17, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." If salvation of souls comes about simply by a good Christian life, then why would it require hearing and not just looking? Verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and not just hearing anything, but hearing the word of God." Okay. Third point, we are compelled to talk about God all the time. This Kirk Cameron is a person which I don't know, but because the quote is nice, so it's here. "If you had a cure to cancer, wouldn't you share it? You have the cure to death. Get out there and share it." Isn't it true? So many people in this world do not know what it takes to get to heaven. They are working their way to heaven. They think that through works, they think that if their good deeds overweigh their bad deeds, they will achieve enlightenment. But you have the answer. That salvation is only by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So since you have that answer, why are you not telling people about it? Paul said in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Because Paul was not ashamed to be a believer in Christ, he was proud to share the gospel. And he realized the power of his message is the power of God unto salvation. And this was something that he had to share. The question I have to ask again is, are you ashamed of being the child of the Almighty? Are you ashamed of being an ambassador of your heavenly kingdom? Are you shy to let people know that your best friend is Creator God? Peter and John were often forbidden to speak in God's name. They were thrown into prison. They were given stripes. Sorry, this is for the, you know, anticipation. I don't even know which direction to press. Okay. So, when they were thrown into prison and they said, no, you're not allowed to speak in Christ's name anymore, they replied, no, you judge yourself. Is it right that we listen to you or listen to God? And Acts chapter 4 verse 20 says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We cannot but speak. It's too good not to share. When you have been to a super cheap and professional barber, you want to tell everyone about it. You know, oh, this $2 haircut. You know, when you have eaten the most delicious lamb chop, like the one at Caesarea, please go and try. You cannot help but bring people to try it. When you have Uber or Grab codes, Anna, Sister Eileen, you just want to WhatsApp it to everyone. You just can't help it because it's just too good to share. Right? If only we had such a passion about speaking about God's word to other people. You just cannot help it. You just need to tell people about God. Sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 16, Paul said again, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. It was an obligation to Paul. Is it to Paul alone? No, because we are also ambassadors of Christ. We represent Christ here on earth. And we also have the obligation to share the word of God with others. Paul was so caught up with his love for God that he lived and breathed, ate and drank God. Okay, what I meant is everything he did revolved around God. And it's not surprising when he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And we see a lot of gratitude in there. I shared with the youth yesterday, that gratitude not necessarily translates into love. People can do a lot of kind things to us. People can be very generous with us. And we are thankful for it, we are happy for it. But that doesn't mean that we naturally love them in return. No. Love has to be a conscious choice. Love has to be something that you decide that you want to do. When God says, love your enemies, okay, if no one naturally says, oh, no, that guy keeps hurting me, I really love him. No. It has to be something that, even though he hurts me, I will love him. So when God tells us that we need to love God, it also has to be a conscious choice. You need to keep reminding yourself. That is why you need to take up your cross daily and follow him. Now Paul was completely sold out for Christ. How about you? Do you fear labels such as fanatic, Jesus freak? What's the word you use? Also another funny label, right? On people calling you names because of your belief in Christ. Right? Do you know that the word Christian was also used to tease those people who followed Christ? And yet now we wear that name with pride. Are you proud to be a Christian? If you are, let his word be on your lips all the time. Point 4. We are compassionate to correct and guide the lost and erring people. Firstly, towards unbelievers. Jesus Christ set the greatest example. Whenever he saw the lost, he was moved with compassion. And Jesus, when he saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. If we see people who are lost and we say, oh, that guy is lost, let me pray for him. And you just pray and pray and say, oh, so much lost people, let me just pray. And then you never ever take the step to reach them when they are just next to you. Okay? That is not really compassion. That is trying to take an easy way out. Because you have reservations. What if I go to him and he rejects me? But I may not know the words to say. If we remember what Christ said, Okay, what about the Bible says? It says that He will give you the words to say. If you don't know what to say, God will tell you what to say. You don't have to be a eloquent person. You don't have to be schooled in the best schools of theology. All you need to do is be a witness. We ought to have compassion on unbelievers, like those who are caught in the snares of false religion, led astray by bad philosophies, those who are entangled with lust and pride. Jesus didn't keep silent. He saw the opportunity and went for it. How many opportunities have we let pass because of fear, because of insecurity? To fellow believers, we also have to open our mouths to fellow believers. Don't say, oh, they are saved, one saved, always saved, so never mind. He's sinning, but don't worry, God will bring him back. We have to say. James chapter 5 verse 19 to 20 says, brethren, and this is referring to believers, this was addressing believers, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And you say, oh, no, the word convert is like, oh, from Buddhist to Christian. But the word convert here in Greek is epistrepho. I probably killed the word. Epistrepho means to bring back to love and obedience to God. To bring someone who used to have a relationship with God back to the fold. This person may have strayed far away, may have backslidden, but to convert this sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. This death is not spiritual death. This death can be physical death, can be death to a testimony. Why? Because you also see in the scriptures where this person who was engaged in fornication with his own mother, what did Paul say? We deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And God can hasten the death of a believer who willfully sins. If you actually see any brother or sister which you know who is living in sin, you really have to warn them. If God thinks that He wants to decide to end, cut short this person's life, to stop him from sinning, you lose a friend. Are you going to look and say, oh well, anyway, that guy was sinful and he died, that's his problem? No. We have a duty to speak up and to let people know. Aren't you glad? I've reached the conclusion. Throughout scripture, we have seen people who upon deliverance from all sorts of situations, praise God. Who upon receiving truth, call upon others to come and see. We do not need to be outspoken or to be a person of many words, but we just cannot be silent. We probably need not be like Stephen, staring at death straight in the face and boldly declaring God's truth, because in Singapore we have freedom of worship. Yet, would we be willing, with every opportunity, to give a testimony of our faith, or stand up in a big crowd, like Peter in the book of Acts? If not, would we be like Andrew, who go and talk to our brother, to our friends, to our families, or just those who are close to us, and lead them, say, I have found the Savior, come and see, come and take a look, come and listen to Him? Or can we be like the woman at the well, saying, come and see? Remember, God called us to be ambassadors for Him. Are you one? Will you speak up and speak out for His sake? The disciples of Christ would not be silent about Him. Would you do so likewise? I came up with this Bible illustration. I'm very proud of myself. A young preacher was weary after his invitations to receive Christ was rejected over and over again. So he laments to his senior pastor, saying, I guess it just proves you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. The pastor replied, son, take my advice. Your job is not to make him drink. Your job is to make him thirsty. So it is with talking about God to other people. We, as the salt of this earth, ought to speak so frequently and intimately of our relationship with Christ through sharing the gospel that we make unbelievers thirsty after His word and His living water. You get what I mean? Salvation is of the Lord. And conviction of sin is only by the Holy Spirit. Our duty is to faithfully speak out and make His word known. right? It's not about saving people. We are not the one who saves. God is the one who saves. We have to speak. So I pray that we will not be silent any longer. Now, if you cannot talk, can you sing? If you can't sing, I can't help you. But, no, I mean, well, you can actually play a YouTube video for them, right? Okay, but anyway, I'd just like to share with you a song. Okay, and this song is a very nice song. I used to sing this when I was young. And, yeah, I think this song will actually, if we cannot, we don't know everything that we need to say, we don't know all the theological words and stuff, like, never mind. Just give people a testimony of your faith. My throat is extremely dry. Let me just play a note, okay? I think you never see such a clumsy preacher before. I'll try my best. I wish you knew my Jesus and loved him as I do. For if you knew my Jesus, then you would love him too. He gave his life at Calvary, the sacrifice for you. If you receive my Jesus, then you would love him too. Do you love Christ? Then let's not keep silent. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here today. Thank you for this message that you have given me, Lord, and that you have allowed to be preached over here at this pulpit. Lord, we pray that you help us not to keep silent any longer. Lord, you take away our fear, take away our insecurities, and give us boldness, Lord, that we will be willing to share your word with whoever comes by. Lord, teach us what we have to say. Give us songs that we can sing to others. And Lord, most importantly, help us to love you more, that you become our best friend, that you become everything that is in this world to us, Lord, that you become all that we live for, so that every word that comes out of our mouth is to glorify you and to lead others to you. Lord, dismiss us with your blessings, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.